Okay, good evening. Can everyone hear me and see me?
Yes.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. So we are ahead of the game. We have not learned for a while, and now, thank God, we're able to get back to our learning. And from what I see on my notes, we are up to Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. That's what I have. I hope I'm not wrong. It's just been a while. I think it's been like 4 or 5 weeks since we were able to learn together. So let's begin from here. Sukkah on Yud Aleph on the base. You see, it's like 7, 8 lines on the bottom. It says Zeh HaKlal.
Yes.
Okay, so the Mishnah told us a rule. Zeh HaKlal, Kol Dovah Shemekabel Tumah, that in order to use something as chach, it has to be something that grows from the ground and is not susceptible to tumah. Those are the two requirements. It has to be gidulei karka, but not mekabel tumah. The Gemara asks, minah hanimili, right? The Gemara asks, how do you know? How do you know that it can not be mekabel tumah? It has to grow from the ground. What's the source of that? So Amar Reish Lakish Amar Kra, ve'ed ya'aleh min ha'aretz. It's a pasuk in this past week's parasha, the Bereishis, right? The Torah says that a cloud came up from the ground and the hishka and it watered the entire Gan Eden. That's basically what we saw. Okay, grand. So you see, eid yaleh min ha'aretz. Zok the Gemara, ma eid davar she'eino mekabel tumah v'gidula min ha'aretz. Afsuka davar she'eino mekabel tumah v'gidula min ha'aretz. Just like a cloud is not susceptible to tumah, and it grows from the ground, right? Eid ya'aleh min ha'aretz. The cloud comes from the ground. So just like a cloud is not susceptible to tumah and it comes from the ground, so also a sukkah has to be not susceptible to tumah and it has to come from the ground. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, "Hani cholamanda amanan nehakavod hayu elamanda amas sukkos mamish asul lahem ma'ikolam lemeimar." In other words, you're telling me that we are learning from clouds. That just like a cloud is not mekabel tumah, and somehow the cloud grows from the ground, so also the schach has to come from the ground and not be mekabel tumah. That limud only makes sense if you hold that the sukkos were ananei hakavod, that we make the sukkos to commemorate the clouds of glory. So based on that, clouds is really essential. But if you hold it with Sukkos Mamish, so then you can't learn from the clouds. Let's just take a pause for a second. By the way, gentlemen, ladies, gentlemen, the order doesn't matter. What exactly is inside clouds? What are clouds?
Water vapor.
Water vapor. Okay. Is water mekabel tumah? So the thing about this planet is, not everything is mekabel tumah, only Adam, Kelim, Ochlim, and Mashkim. Right?
Okay.
Liquid is mekabel tumah, no? So if liquid is mekabel tumah, so how can we say that the clouds are not mekabel tumah? So you
Interesting.
have to say one of two things. Either in order to be, there is a difference in chemistry. When I was in high school, they told me there's a difference between gas and liquids. No? The difference is based on how connected are the molecules or how far apart they are, correct? A solid, a liquid, and a gas is all the same thing. The water that's in the clouds, is that a mashke, or is it still in gas form? It's entirely possible, and I think it's actually likely that a cloud is not mekabel tumah. Again, usually if someone would ask you this question, you would say, like, my dear, what would possess you to ask this question? But we learned the Gemara, and the Gemara says that the cloud is not mekabel tumah. We ask, isn't a cloud water? The answer is no, maybe it's gas. Well, that seems to be the explanation. Alternatively, it could be that it doesn't have a din of water yet until it comes down. Kol zman, it's high up. It's not the halacha of water. Basically, this seems to be the way we are presenting things.
Okay.
So we want to know, what is the source that you cannot make schach from something that's mekabel tuma? Zak the Gemara, a pasuk in Parashas Bereishis, that eid ya'alem min ha'aretz. Apparently, clouds come from the ground. We're going to talk about this a little bit more later on. That probably means that the source of the liquid in the clouds is the ocean. Right? That remember they taught you this like in elementary school also? What's it called? The water cycle? Right? That it starts off. Yosef, you're shaking your head.
I'm not familiar with that term.
What's the term called? That the water goes up and down, it evaporates, there's condensation, there's something. I don't know. But the assumption over here is that the water is eid ya'ale min ha'aretz. The water comes from the ground. And because the cloud comes from the ground, because a cloud is not mekabel tuma, so also the schach cannot be mekabel tuma. But the Gemara says this only makes sense if you hold hanicha. Right? The Gemara says what? Hanicha l'manda amar, like 6 lines from the bottom. This makes sense if you hold anane akavod hayu. Elo l'manda amar sukkos mamish asulahem mai ikol meimar. But if you hold that the sukkos that were built were actual huts rather than anane hakavod, what are you going to say? Ditanya. Habamigalanta braisa. Kiba sukkos hashavti es b'nei Yisrael. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you have to send a sukkah. What are those sukkos? So anane hakavod hayu. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva omer, sukkos mamish asulahem. Rabbi Eliezer says they are anane hakavod. Rabbi Akiva says they are actual sukkos. Hanicha l'Rabbi Eliezer, el Rabbi Akiva meikol meimar. I understand the point, Rabbi Eliezer. You can have a source that schach is not, schach cannot be mekabel tuma from the pasuk about the clouds. Because Rabbi Eliezer says that the sukkos correspond to the anane akavot. But according to Rabbi Akiva, what are you going to say? That's the Gemara's kasha. And let's just pause for a second. Ladies, gentlemen, when there is a dispute between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, who should the halacha follow? I'll ask the question a different way.
Rabbi Akiva.
Rabbi Akiva, good. Why? There are two reasons why. One reason is that we have a principle, the halacha ki Rabbi Akiva mechaveiro. Whenever Rabbi Akiva disagrees with an individual, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. So here it's Rabbi Akiva against an individual, against Rabbi Eliezer. So the halacha should follow Rabbi Akiva. That's one reason. There's a second, perhaps more fundamental reason why the halacha should follow Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Eliezer. And that's because the Gemara tells me that Rabbi Eliezer shamutihu. There's machlekes Rashi and Taisus exactly what this means. But what it means is that we don't follow Rabbi Eliezer la halacha because Rabbi Eliezer is a shamuti. There are two explanations what Shamuti is. One explanation is that Rabbi Eliezer was put into Cherem. Shamuti comes from expression of Shamta, an expression of excommunication in Cherem. Rabbi Eliezer, if you remember, had the whole dispute with Rabbi Yehoshua, the famous sugya of Tanur Shalachnai, there in Bava Metzia Memtes. And the Gemara basically says that they put Rabbi Eliezer in Cherem because he's trying to bring all the proofs that he's right. Now, like the walls of the Beis Medrash should, right, show me. The river should show that I'm right, right? The Gemara says he's trying to bring all these proofs. They put Rabbi Eliezer in Cherem. That's one explanation. The other explanation as to why Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti, what it means that we don't follow Rabbi Eliezer is position la halacha because he is Shamuti, is Shamuti means he is a student of Shammai. So I don't pass him like Rabbi Eliezer because Rabbi Eliezer comes from the Shammai school. Okay, so here we are, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. How is that my screen only has gentlemen in front of me? I have to move my screen now. Okay, Marjorie and Sarah, I see you. At least I see your names. So now I can focus more. I won't chas v'shalom say gentlemen again because like my screen was deceiving me a minute ago. But basically, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva as to whether the sukkos are anane hakavod, according to Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Akiva, they are sukkos mamish. We should follow Rabbi Akiva because of two reasons that we mentioned. We always follow Rabbi Akiva when he disagrees with an individual. Moreover, Rabbi Eliezer always gets the short end of the stick because Rabbi Eliezer is shamuti. So how come over here, the problem is, the Torah paskins at the beginning of Siman Tafresh Chafei, and we saw this idea in Rashi on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and Beis Amud Beis, Rashi says that the halacha is,
like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer.
The halacha is Anani HaKavod. And the question is, how come we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer against Rabbi Akiva? So there are a few explanations that are given, and we'll talk about this a little bit more as we go on. One explanation is, I'll give three explanations, why Rashi paskins Anani HaKavod. Explanation number one is the Torah says, make a yontiv. If you're making a yontiv, presumably you're making a yontiv because there was some miracle that happened. Building a hut is not a miracle. Again, if you're someone like me, who's born with like 17 left thumbs, so maybe there's a miracle that you build a hut. But for most people, building a hut, right, isn't that difficult. So there's no miracle involved. The yontiv has to be established because of a miracle. Therefore, it has to be anane hakavod. The second explanation why we would pass an anane hakavod is because the Torah writes, ki basukos hoshavti es b'nei Yisrael. Hoshavti means Hashem says, I put them into sukkos. If the sukkos are sukkos mamish, right, if it's the huts that we built ourselves, that means that we put ourselves into the huts. It's not hoshavti. That's the second explanation. The third explanation actually is probably more correct, but you have to look at the side of the Gemara. You see in the column, in the inner margin of the Gemara, it says, Betores Kohanim Isa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Sukkos Mamish Hayu, Rabbi Shimon Omer Anane HaKavod. You see that? The Torah, the text in the Torah's Kohanim, in the Midrash Halacha in Vayikra, has Rabbi Eliezer saying that the sukkos are sukkos mamish. That would really solve our whole problem. Because, yeah, I'm not supposed to pass like Rabbi Eliezer. So I don't pass that they are sukkos mamish, right? Because according to this alternative version that we have on the side of the page, pardon me, Rabbi Eliezer is the authority who says that they are sukkos mamish, and therefore we don't follow it. Okay, so let's just go back. We're trying to figure out what's our source that sukkos have to be, that the schach of a sukkah cannot be makabel tuma. So at first, the Gemara wants to learn from the clouds. The eid yalim in the oretz has to come from the ground. A cloud is not makabel tuma, all is grand. Okay, wonderful. But the guy says that only makes sense if you hold that the sukkos were clouds. But if you hold that the sukkos are sukkos mamish, so what's your source that can't be mekabo tuma? So the Gemara says, ki osir avdimi am Rabbi Yochanan. You have it. It is three lines in the bottom. When Ravdimi came to Bavel, that's what ki osa always means. When Ravdimi came to Bavel, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan is the chief Amor in Eretz Yisrael, Amar Kra, Chag Hasukos Ta'asalucha. The Pasuk says Chag. Make a Chag of Sukkos. Makish Sukkah L'Chagiga. We compare the Sukkah to an animal, to a Chagiga. Ma Chagiga Dover She'enu Mekabel Tuma V'Gidula Min Ha'aretz. Af Sukkah Dover She'enu Mekabel Tuma V'Gidula Min Ha'aretz. Animals. Okay? Animals are not Mekabel Tuma. Everyone agree? That's pretty reasonable. No. The only four things on the planet that are Mekabel Tuma is Adam, Kalim, Ochlim, Mashkim. Humans, utensils, food and drink. Animals are not Mekabel Tuma.
Granted. If an animal has a blemish, then we can't use it as a sacrifice.
It as a carbon, but it's not Mekabel Tuma. In other words, Tuma means if I touch it, so now I become Tume, and okay. I have to go to the
Mikvah,
et cetera, et cetera. An animal is not Mekabel Tuma.
Okay.
But tell me, ladies and gentlemen, are animals Gidulo Min Ha'aretz? The animals grow from the land.
No.
Good. Right? Animals do not grow from the land. Again, there are some... Animals don't grow from the land, right? I'm not going to go into like, you know, what Rabbi Slifkin has this book about like mysterious creatures. So there are certain mysterious creatures that Chazal talk about that maybe they grew from the ground, but that's not normal. Animals don't grow from the ground. So what does our Gemara mean when our Gemara says that the animals grow from the ground? So the Rishonim over here explain, Rashi comments, that when I say animals grow from the ground, what that means is that animals are nourished and they are sustained by vegetation that grows from the ground. The animal doesn't grow from the ground in the sense of you plant the animal in the ground and it grows, no? When I was in nursery school, we did like a school play to make a chicken farm. So they put the chickens in the ground, no? It doesn't make a chicken grow when you stick the chicken in the ground. But animals grow from the ground in the sense, right here, let's read the Rashi, it's like 10 lines before the lines get wide. Kol behemel Rabbi Yochanan gedulei karka hein, shemin hakarka gedelim v'nizonin. They all, animals grow from the ground in the sense of they are nourished from the ground. Avodagim u'melach v'kimhin u'pitrios lav gedulei karka ninhu. Fish and salt and mushrooms don't grow from the ground. This is relevant, of course, lahalacha, right? I don't make a bore pri ha'adoma when I eat a fish, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Because the fish doesn't grow from the ground. So what bracha do I make when I eat a steak? Should I make a bore pri ha'adoma? We're saying now that, what is it, Ilan? We're saying that animals...
Should I tie them on a steak?
I don't know.
If I have grass-fed beef, do I make a hadama?
Do I make a bari pri hadama when I have grass-fed beef? That's correct. Yeah, it's really... I mean, this is opening up a can of Spam or something. I don't know what's going on here, right? So let's just continue in the Rashi. Rashi says that animals are called gidulei karka, that they are nourished from the ground. And the halacha is that by Maaser Sheni, the Torah says that on years 1, 2, 4, and 5, so I give truma, then I give Maaser Rishon to the Levi, and then I also have to take Maaser Sheni, I have to take a tenth of my produce and bring it up to Yerushalayim and eat it there. If I have too many fruits, I can't schlep them all to Yerushalayim. So what I do is I redeem the fruits on money, and then I redeem the fruits for money. Then I go up to Yerushalayim with my money. And when I'm in Yerushalayim, I buy v'nasata ha-kesef b'chol asher t'habe nafshecha, ba-bokar, ba-tzon, etc. Right? I'm allowed to buy animals and eat the animals in Yerushalayim for my Maaser Sheni. And the way the Gemara says it is I'm only allowed to buy the stuff which is pre-mi-pri u'gidulei karka. So animals, since I could purchase animals with my Maaser Sheni money, animals are called gidulei karka. So now it would seem, like Ilan asks, so that would mean that grass-fed beef should be a ha'adama. No one ever did that. Rashi continues, and Rashi says, basically, here, if you look in the first wide line at the bottom, so Rashi writes something to the effect of, we learn from Gar Nechamiya, Kvecha, etc. So therefore, schach cannot be made from leather. We'll talk about that in a minute. Dinihi digidule ha'aretz mikri, Hashem sha'aretz migadlasan, b'mer e'u parnasa, even though animals are gidule ha'aretz and that they are nourished from the ground, avo gidulim min ha'aretz lo mikri. Animals are gidule aretz, gidule karka, but they are not gidulim min hakarka. Animals are nourished from the ground, but they do not grow from the ground. I need a better English terminology over here. But the basic point that we're getting at is I would say that I don't make a bari pri adoma when I eat a grass-fed beef, because even though bore pri ha'adama means it has to be pri ha'adama, has to grow from the ground. This does not grow from the ground. Animals are nourished by the ground, but they don't grow from the ground. Okay, so let's just go back. We want to know, what's the source that schach cannot be mekabel tuma? So at first we say we learn it from the pasuk about clouds. The Gemara says, okay, that makes sense if you hold that the sukkos were anane hakavod. But the sukkos are sukkos mamish. So how do you know that you cannot? How do you know if the sukkos are sukkos mamish? How do you know that it cannot be makabel tuma? So the Gemara says, oh, maybe we'll learn from the pasuk of chag hasukkos, that we compare our sukkah to a korban chagiga. And just like an animal grows from the ground or is nourished from the ground, and an animal is not mekabel tuma, so also the schach has to come from the ground and not be mekabel tuma. Let's just turn to the next page. Do you see Daf Yud Beis now? Okay. So the Gemara asks, one second, if that's the case, imach hagiga balei chayim afsukanami balei chayim. If you're learning from this pasuk chag hasukos, so that would mean, okay, gentlemen, this would be awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, this would be amazing. You could have the schach, a hide of an animal. Right? That would be like the fanciest sukkah ever in town. Right? People look at your sukkah and you have, you know, you ever went to like, one time we rented a place in an Airbnb and they had a moose on the wall. You know, like hunter type people, they like to hang the animals. Right? You could have an animal hide as your schach, if you learn from Chag HaSukkos. And the Gemara says that can't be. It's impossible that an animal hide would be kosher as schach. So what's the source? How do you know that schach has to be something that's not susceptible to tuma? It cannot be from the pasuk of Chag HaSukkos, because that would allow animal hide to be used as schach. So ki osa ravin am Reb Yochan, and the second line from the top, Amakra, ba'aspecha migarnecha umyikvecha. The Torah says I should make the yontiv, the pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, says I should make the yontiv of Sukkot, ba'aspecha migarnecha umyikvecha, when you gather from the silo, from the grains, and from the grapes, that means you make the sukkah b'psoles gorin v'yekev akosim edaber. You have to make the sukkah from the aspecha. Aspecha is the stuff that you gather up afterwards, after I take those grapes and I make it into wine. So there's going to be some residue that remains behind. That residue that remains behind is going to be like some twigs of the grapes. What are they called? There's some official term, like the twigs of the grapes. Like, you know, the little green branches that you pull the grapes off of? That's going to remain. Right? The twigs, those things will remain. Those are things I use for schach. But us b'chami garen l'chami yekvecha. The psolas garen v'yekev is stuff which is not makabel tuma, because it's just leftover stalks of wheat. The wheat itself is food. It's makabel tuma. The wine itself is makabel tuma. But the leftover stalks, ba'aspecha, that is not makabel tuma. B'psolas garen v'yekev hakosav medaber. It's the leftover stuff. That's what the pasuk is talking about. So Gemara says, one second, if you're learning from that pasuk in Re'eh, ba'aspecha migarn lechem yekvecha, ve'ema goren atzmo, v'yekev atzmo, maybe you should make the schach from the sheaths of wheat itself. Or maybe you should make the schach from the wine itself. You should, right? Who says it has to be from the leftover twigs? But aspecha migarn lechem yekvecha, maybe you should make schach from the grapes itself. Make schach from the wheat itself. Ve'ema goyren atzmo v'yekev atzmo. So the Gemara says, Amr Bzeira, yekev ksivkan, v'yashal asakech bo. It doesn't say anovim, right? Rebzeira says, you can't make schach out of wine. The Torah doesn't say anovim. It doesn't say grapes. What the Torah says is, be'aspecha migarnecha umi yekvecha, right? The yekev by definition means, yekev means wine. You cannot possibly make schach out of wine. Correct? Don't try this. But if you're going to try to put wine up on top of your, right? Remember that song that we used to sing in camp, right? About all the bottles of beer on the wall and they fall.
Yeah.
Right? You can't make schach out of wine or beer, right? That's what Reb Zera says. So maskif la Reb Yirmiya. Reb Yirmiya asks Akasha. Ve'ema yayin karish haba mishanir shu domele igule devela. Reb Yirmiya says, one second. Who says we're talking about liquid wine? Maybe we're talking about frozen wine that comes from this place of Shanir. Apparently, they would transport wine from certain areas, including Shanir, and they would transport the wine by freezing it. And it looked like igule devela. It looked like the igule devela are like the cakes of figs. You know, you can buy the pressed figs in a cake. So the wine could look like that. So Reb Yirmiya is basically saying, who said you can't make schach out of wine? You can make schach out of wine. Just use frozen wine. Aye, how long are you going to keep it frozen? I don't know. So you have a freezer up there somehow. Ilan?
I mean, it sounds more like thick wine, like congealed wine, or like it's so concentrated that it's almost a solid.
Okay. Right. Yeah, in other words, you're saying that it doesn't have to be frozen in the sense of beneath 32 degrees Fahrenheit. It just has to be congealed. Mm-hmm. It basically, it's wine in solid form somehow.
The old Malaga wine that you used to have in Shul in the olden days.
Which type of wine?
The heavy duty Malaga.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. I tried to forget about it. Yeah, so it's that type of stuff. It's wine that is as viscous as Vaseline. Right? It's a clunky stuff. So maybe that's what you're using as your schach. That's Reb Yirmiya's kasha. So we have a problem. What's the source that the schach cannot be makabel tuma? We try to learn it from clouds. Then we try to learn it from a sukkah being compared to an animal. Chag hasukos. Right? We say, if you want to learn from clouds, that only makes sense of the sukkahs and on the akavim. You want to learn from the animals, and then you can use a hide to be schach. Rather, says the Gemara, I'm going to learn from the pasuk in Re'eh of ba'aspecha migarnecha miyekvecha. When you gather from the wine, etc. So the Gemara says, okay, that's good. But who says asbicha means the residue? Who says it means the stuff that remains? Maybe it means the wine itself. Aye, how is it possible to make schach out of wine itself? The Gemara says, no, we have this congealed malaga stuff that like brings back all the memories in your childhood. Maybe that's what you're using as schach. I'm Reb Zera. Reb Zera comments 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines on the top. I'm Reb Zera. Hamilsa hava biyadon va'asa Reb Yirmiya v'shada banarga. Right? So Reb Zera says, you know what? We had an answer to the problem. We had a source that told us that schach has to come from something that is not susceptible to tuma. We're learning it from the pasuk ba'as b'cham yigarnacham yikvecha. But Reb Yirmiya came and he threw an axe at that proof. Shada banarga. Right, Reb Yirmiya basically deflects the entire proof. He says, nope, not a proof. Comes along with Ashi. Reb Ashi says, no, the proof is good. Reb Ashi amar mi garnecha velo garen atzmo, mi yikvecha velo yekev atzmo. Reb Ashi says that Reb Yirmiya's question that maybe we are learning from Reb Yirmiya's question that the source of schach not being mekabel tuma is from be'aspecha megarnecha miyikvecha, it cannot mean wine because the Torah says migarnecha miyikvecha. That means the stuff that comes from the yekev, the residue. It cannot mean the wine itself. So effectively, we have a source that you cannot use something that's mekabel tuma as schach. You can't use that as schach. The source is be'aspecha migarnecha u'miyikvecha. That's the first mahalach in the Gemara, or the fourth mahalach. Again, we go through clouds, then animals, then the possibility of migarnecha u'miyikvecha. We reject that possibility. It says maybe it means using the wine itself as schach. So the Gemara says, no, it can't mean that using the wine itself, because the Torah says, mi garnecha, mi yikvechi, not using the wine. Then the Gemara has a different approach. Rav Chista Amar, it's five lines before the Mishnah. Rav Chista Amar Mehacha, the Pasuk in Nehemiah says, by the way, according to Chazal, there's no Sefer Nehemiah, no? According to Chazal, there's one large book called Ezra, mm-hmm. Not Nehemiah. Nehemiah is not a separate sefer. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that apparently Nehemiah was like some sort of Baal Gaiva, so therefore the sefer was not named after him. It was only named after Ezra.
Right.
So Rav Chista says that we're going to prove it from a pasuk in Ezra, pasuk in Nehemiah. I think actually Rashi over here writes something like it comes from a pasuk in Ezra. I think Rashi has that expression. Okay, of course, Chazal, it's only Ezra. It's not Nehemiah. Rav Chista Amar Mehacha. The pasuk says as follows. After Bnei Yisrael comes up to build Bayis Sheni, so they, Ezra stands up on a big platform and he has a bunch of people to his right, a bunch of people to his left, and Ezra starts reading the Torah. And they come to a pasuk where the Torah says, build sukkahs, that there should be a yontiv of sukkahs. And suddenly the people are like, oh my gosh, never heard of that. Sukkahs, what's that? So the pasuk says, tzu'u hahar vehiviu ale zayis, ale etz shemen, ale hadas, ale tzmarim. Right? Ezra says, go to the mountains, bring leaves of olives, leaves of etz shemen is like trees that produce a lot of oil. It basically means like the branches of the olive tree. Alei hadas, leaves of hadasim. Alei tamarim. Alei etz avot. Bring all these things and build a sukkah. But the pasuk over there says that they built a sukkah, and they had never built a sukkah from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. That's what the pasuk over there writes in Nehemiah Perek Ches. So it's really hard to understand. What, Klal Yisrael, how long was it from Yehoshua ben Nun until the days of Ezra? That's like, what, 1,000 years, no? It's around 1,000 years, but they didn't build a sukkah for 1,000 years. That's inconceivable. So the Malbim has an interesting comment. The Malbim reads the psukim there in Nehemiah that what the Navi is saying is people, of course, built sukkahs, but they never built a large public sukkah like this. What Nehemiah is doing, what Ezra is saying, is like, go to the mountain and bring as many branches as you can, and we're going to build a lahavdil. It's like the sukkah of Bubba 45. We're going to build a sukkah that is gigundous, right? This massive sukkah. They had never had such a massive sukkah since the days of Yehoshua ben Nun, because the halacha is, the Malbim was like a tremendous lamdin. The Malbim says that the halacha is that you're not allowed to build a sukkah in Rishus HaRabim. The sukkah has to be built in private property. So the people didn't want to build a sukkah, a large sukkah, because to build such a large sukkah, you'd have to do it in public property. They couldn't do that. All the years they couldn't do it. But now that Ezra is coming back to Eretz Yisrael, so when Ezra is there, Ezra is basically making new rules about the land. Right? There's a kibush now of Eretz Yisrael the second time, and they are establishing the land based on, they're establishing the rules based on the rules that Ezra sets up. And Ezra's rules that he sets into place are, the rules Ezra sets into place is that you're allowed to build sukkos in Rishus HaRabim. So that's why now, for the first time since the days of Yehoshua ben Nun comes to the land, no one owned it yet. It's before Kibush V'Chiluk. Right, so then they could build a gigantic sukkah, like all of Klai Yisrael could sit in the same sukkah. Now also, they're doing the same thing. That's the way the Malbim understands the Pesukim in Nehemiah. So basically, let's go back. We want to know a source that a sukkah has to be something that's not Mekabel Tuma. So first we learn from the, so we try to learn from the Pasuk, V'asbucha migar Nechem Yekvecha. And then the Gemara says, no, that source might not work because maybe it means that the sukkah itself is the wine. The Gemara deflects and says, no, migarnecha, right, that it can't be that the wine is the schach itself. Then the Gemara comes up with a new explanation. The explanation is the pasuk in Nehemiah. The pasuk in Nehemiah says, go to the mountain, bring alei zayis, alei etz shemen, alei hadas, alei tamarim, alei etz avos. So the Gemara has a kasha. Hainu hadas, hainu eitz avos. Remember, the psukim tell us that on the yontem of Sukkot, it wasn't that long ago. We should still remember. I still have my lulav and Esther right over there in that corner, right? The pasuk says that lekachtem lachem bayom rishon, the first day of Sukkot, you have to take esrei kriyas hadar, kapos tmarim is a lulav, anach eitz avos means a branch that is all covered with leaves. That refers to hadasim, to myrtles. So the Gemara has a kasha. How come the pasuk in Nehemiah says hadas and eitz avos? How come it says both? Hainu hadas, hainu eitz avos. It's the same thing, right? The term in the Torah for hadasim is eitz avos, right? The avot means to be covered. The covered branch is a hadas. How come we say both hadas and eitz avos? So Amrav Chista means hadas shota lasuka, the eitz avos lelulav. That for the lulav, they would use a hadas that was eitz avos, that was fully covered. But for the sukkah, they would use something called a hadas shota. A hadas shota means a imbecile myrtle, right? It's not like a moaning myrtle, it's an imbecile myrtle, right? That is a hadas shota. Hadas shota, Rashi writes over here, is eno kasha lulav. You can't use a hadas shota for the lulav. Lefisha ein avoto asuya shoshalosh shalosh alen. Rashi over here is quoting a gemara on daf lamed beis amid beis. The gemara over there tells me that a Hadas Shota is possible. What's Hadas Shota? So the Gemara explains that regular Hadas has to be Gimel Olim, has to be three leaves, right, Bevar Echod. Three leaves coming out from one bad. A Hadas Shota is two and one. It's not three together, you have two and one. Now, what exactly this means is a big machlokes. Let me just try to give a quick overview. Rashi has a shita that makes it almost impossible to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav. Rashi's shita is that it's only kosher as a hadas if all three leaves come out of exactly the same stem. That's Rashi's shita. I will, you know what, let me go like this here. I'm going to try to share a different screen, right? Okay, can you see this screen? According to, this is a hadas. There are three leaves. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Three leaves? Rashi says that all three leaves have to come from exactly the same stem. The only way it's a kosher hadas, according to Rashi, is if all three leaves grow out of that same tiny bud. If you would pull your hadasim, you would see that, actually here, wait 1 second, I could pull my hadasim, I'll show you. This is like show and tell, right? Yeah. So if I look at my hadasim.
Do you stop sharing the whiteboard?
What? I should stop sharing the whiteboard, yes. Okay. Can you see me still?
Yes.
Okay. So we're back to the Gemara. And what Rashi is basically saying is that to be a kosher hadas, all three leaves have to come out of exactly the same place. Tosfos asks on Rashi there on Daf Lamed Beis, he says it's not true. It never happens that all three leaves come from the same place. Rather, Tosfos says, it means that you have to be able to wrap a string around it, and if all three leaves are from the same place, if the string covers all three leaves, that's good enough. Now, that's a beautiful explanation. The only problem is Tosfos never tells me how big that string is. No? If the string is 5 inches, so of course all the leaves are going to be covered. Tosfos doesn't tell me how big the string is. No one really knows the answer to this mystery. Some people try to be very frum, and they try to have a hadas that is literally eitz avot, which means two things. The biggest chumra in Judaism is, right, that the hadas has to have all three leaves coming from the same exact place. And you see, this hadas is puzzle, according to this chumra, because you could see some wood between the leaves. Eitz avot would mean, according to this explanation, that there is no wood that's noticeable. The whole thing is covered with leaves. So let's go back for a second. Hey, we're learning sukkah. And we learned the halacha that a hadas shota is puzzle for a lulav. You could use a hadas shota for a sukkah, but you cannot use hadas shota for a lulav. What is hadas shota? So Rashi tells me hadas shota is as long as you do not have three leaves coming out of the same place. If I have two leaves in one place and the third leaf being a teeny bit above or below, according to Rashi, that is pusul as a hadas. That is called a hadas shota. That's the shita of Rashi. By the way, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you shouldn't just throw your hadasim out. What you should really do is use them for besamim on Matzei Shabbos, no? As you can see, I didn't do this past week because I still had my hadas and my lulav. But it's a good thing to take your hadas, and once you do one mitzvah with an item, you should try to do more mitzvahs with it. So take your hadasim and incorporate it with your besamim. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Havdalah. Oh. So that's a hadas shota, which is puzzle for a lulav. According to Rashi, it means that all three leaves are not coming from the same area. There is a discussion in the Rishonim. When they say the hadas shota is puzzle, what does that mean? Does it mean the hadas shota is not a hadas at all? For example, a lemon is not an esrog, no? A lemon is not an esrog. You're not going to tell me that a lemon is a puzzle esrog. A lemon is just not an esrog. Is a hadas shota not a hadas at all? Or is a hadas shota a hadas that is puzzle? The standard explanation is that this issue is a machlokes in Rishonim. The Rishonim say that I'm allowed to have as many hadasim as I want. No? I don't know if you ever, sometimes you go and you see a Sephardi Jew who has, usually it's only Sephardim or like some Hasidish or Rebbes. They have a lulav that like is mamish fat. It looks like a tree trunk. And the reason why it's so fat is because they have like hundreds of hadasim around it. So sometimes people ask, like, dude, what are you doing? I learned in grade school, 3 hadasim, 2 aravos. How can you have 1,000? So the answer is you're allowed to have as many as you want. But you're only allowed to have tied up together hadasim and aravos. If I'd want to tie a rose, because I like the way roses look. So I want to tie a rose together with my lulav, that would be a psul of Baal Tosef. That's adding an extra min. The Rishonim have a dispute. If you look in the Rush in the third parak of Sukkah, Simin Yud Dalet, the Rishonim have a machlaikas. If I want to add on hadasim, can I take one of these hadas shotas and add it on? Do all the hadasim that I add on have to be a hadas? Or is hadas shota good enough? Some say the hadas shota is good enough to add on, because they assume the hadas shota is halachically hadas, but it's a puzzle hadas. Therefore, you can add it on. However, those who say that you cannot add hadas shota on, that's because they hold that hadas shota is a different species. It's not a hadas at all. It's interesting that the Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Lulav, the Rambam tells you, this is an esrog, this is a lulav, this is an arava, and don't use hadas shota. You get an impression that hadas shota for the Rambam is a different species. That's the impression that you get. However, others disagree and they say, no, hadas shota is the same species as just pusil, because to be kosher, you need 3 pretty much in the same place we pass in. If you have 2 and 1, so then that is a hadas shota, which is pusil, but it's a pusil hadas. That's what others say. Reb Isra Zalman Meltzer. Reb Isra Zalman was the Rosh Hashiva Neitz Chaim in Yerushalayim. He was the father-in-law of Reb Aaron Cutler, no? Reb Isra Zalman Meltzer has a sefer on the Rambam called the Eben Ha'ozel. Pardon me. And Reb Isra Zalman's sefer, he comments that if you look through Rishonim, most Rishonim understand the Hadas Shota means 2 and 1 instead of 3. How exactly the 2 and 1 is done, that's the dispute that we spoke about a minute ago. But most understand hadas shota means 2 and 1. However, there's a bahag. The bahag says that hadas shota means you have really big leaves. To be a kosher hadas, you have to have relatively small leaves. If the leaves are really big, you have gigantic leaves, so that is a hadas shota according to the bahag. Comes along Reb Isra Zalman. Reb Isra Zalman says, whoa, that might be the answer to our question. Our question that we're pondering as to whether Hadas Shota is a different species or not. So it's hard to imagine it's a different species, no? I have a tree that's growing Hadasim, and some of them are going to be 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, and then some are going to be 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1. But it's the same tree. How could it be that some is one species, some is a different species? That's highly unlikely. Says Rabbi Zalman, you're right. The opinion that a Hadas Shelta is a different species is probably based on this position of the Bahag, the Hadas Shelta is a Hadas that has really big leaves. Because the leaves are really big, so therefore it is a different species. By the way, I'm going to make a bracha now on my, what bracha do you make on this? Baruch Ata Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Borei Atzei B'Samim. No. We make, on Matzei Shabbos, you always make the bracha Minei B'Samim because people might get confused. Everyone has to use B'Samim on Matzei Shabbos. But technically a Hadas is Atzei B'Samim, no? It's a tree. So the bracha you should make is Borei Atzei B'Samim, etc. Okay, Zozain. Now, let's just go on. So basically what we have over here is a few possible sources. If you hold that a sukkah is anane hakavod, so you're going to tell me that the source that the schach is not makabel tuma is based on the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis ve'edya alemen ha'aretz, that just like clouds are not makabel tuma, schach can't be makabel tuma because sukkah is clouds. But if you hold sukkah is not clouds, so therefore you can either learn from the pasuk ba'os b'cham yigor necham yikvecha, or you're going to learn somehow from this pasuk in Nehemiah that they say, go and build the sukkah from Alei Zayis, Alei Eitz Shemen, Alei Hadas, etc. That's the source that can't be makabel tuma. Grand. Now, we mentioned a few minutes ago that Rashi paskins and the Tor paskins that the sukkos really were anane hakavod. And therefore the Bach writes, by the way, that when you sit down in your sukkah, you should have in mind that I'm sitting in this sukkah to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem, to remind me of the fact that Hashem put us in anane hakavod when we left Mitzrayim. That's what the Bach paskins you should do when you sit down in your sukkah. All is grand. Well, if the sukkah was anane hakavod, so then the source that I should quote lahalacha that schach cannot be makabel tuma, that source should be ve'edya alamin ha'aretz. The source should be the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis. Yet the Rishonim, when they quote it lahalacha, they do not quote the pasuk in Bereishis. They quote the pasuk of ba'asbecha migarnecha miyikvecha. So how come they don't quote the pasuk of edya alamin ha'aretz? So that's the question that I'd like to focus on for a minute. And the answer to this question is found in the Tosfos. Let's look at this Tosfos. B'psolas goren v'yekev hakosam v'daber. You see the Tosfos on? Can you see the screen sharing, by the way? You see the Tosfos? Mm-hmm. B'psolas goren v'yekev hakosam v'daber. Zok Tosfos. Reb Yochanan lo yalef me'anani hakavod. Reb Yochanan does not learn that the source of schach not being mekabel tuma is from anane hakavod. Mefarish birushalmi dein kedaite v'dein kedate. Yerushalmi says that this one is going to his opinion and this one is going according to his opinion. Reb Yochanan amar anonim lemaila hayu kilomar min hashamayim hein ba'in ve'ein ze gidulo min ha'aretz. This almost sounds like some discussion that Socrates would have had with his Talmidim, right? What is the source of the clouds? The clouds come from the ground, or the clouds come lemaila? So Rabbi Yochanan says in the Yerushalmi, anonim lemaila hayu, meaning clouds come down from the sky, and therefore it is nakidulo minakarka. Resh Lakish Amar Lemata Hayu. Resh Lakish says, no, clouds come from the ground. Reb Yochanan Medamale Ko Adam Hamishaleh Chavero Chavis Rekankanim. Reb Yochanan says, it's like a person who sends his friend a gift of wine. I'll send a barrel of wine that contains the wine. Resh Lakish says, it's not like someone who sends their friend a gift of wine. but it's like someone wants to buy wine from me, and I'll tell the guy, bring your bucket, and you'll fill up the wine. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Anon and Melamayla, when Hashem gives us rain, it's all coming from above. Hashem is giving a gift. Hashem is giving us the clouds and the rain. It's all from Hashem. Reish Lakish is saying, no, the clouds are coming from the bottom. It's like the person who has to bring his own bucket in order to get the stuff, etc. Now, what emerges from this Tosis is as follows. Rabbi Yochanan, who says that clouds come from above, fundamentally, Rabbi Yochanan might hold that the sukkahs are anane hakavod. However, he does not want to learn from that pasuk ve'ed ya'alem en ha'aretz, because that pasuk was assuming that the clouds come from below. And Rabbi Yochanan holds philosophically, clouds come from above, they do not come from below. Again, I have no idea how to make sense out of this machlokas. Do clouds come from above or clouds come from the below? I don't know. I don't fully get it. But what Tosis is quoting from the Yerushalmi is actually very helpful for us. We're bothered by Akasha. Since we pass in at the sukkahs are anane hakavod, so how come you don't bring the pasuk the eid ya'alem in the aretz to tell you that tzchach has to be not mekabel tumah? How can you not bring the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis? So the answer is, I don't bring the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis because we hold la halacha that the sukkahs come from the ground, that we hold the halacha, excuse me, that the clouds do not come from the ground, rather clouds come from the heaven, they come from above. This is what I was referring to before. What's that called? Is it called like a water cycle? Someone has to know what it's called. That the water comes right from the seas and it goes up to the clouds, it comes back down. There's some term for it, no? Okay, maybe I'm not the only one who doesn't know. But basically, there's a fundamental machlokes about how is it that clouds develop. Do clouds develop from the ground or do clouds develop from above? Now, what's interesting is as follows. La halacha, can you make schach out of the hide of an animal? Is that position impossible? So the Gemara says that position is impossible according to the opinion that sukkos are sukkos mamish. The Gemara does not say that according to the opinion that the sukkos are anane hakavod, that it's impossible that the schach comes from the hide of an animal. Some of the Mefarshim say maybe me'ikar hadin schach comes from the maybe me'ikar hadin, you could fulfill the mitzvah schach with the hide of an animal. Maybe the psul is only a psul d'rabbanon. That is already a wild idea. Usually we assume it's psul min haTorah, but again, based on those ideas that we mentioned beforehand, the ideas that an animal might be called gidulei karka in the sense that since it's nourished from the ground, so therefore, maybe you can make schach out of animal hide. So there is a possibility that remains la halacha, even though the Gemara rejected it. The Gemara only rejected it within the opinion that the sukkos are sukkos mamish. Within the opinion that the sukkos are anane hakavod, it's possible that mida oraisa, you can make schach out of leather. And it's possible you could have, I always wanted to do this type of thing, build the world's weirdest sukkah and invite people in to look at it. So you can have a sukkah that's like two walls with a little bit of a tzuris ha-pesach and like all the things that were discussed before, and like it's above 20 amos, but you have a pedestal in the middle. And as schach, you could have hide of an animal. And Reb Velvel Soloveitchik has a discussion. Schach has to be gedulei karka, no? Can I use bricks as schach? Bricks come from the ground, no? Can you use dirt as schach? Reb Velvel Soloveitchik has a question. If you can use dirt as schach, maybe you could have glass as schach. And if you have glass as schach, how do you make a calculation as to whether it is more sun than shade? Because
right.
The sunlight is going to come right through. Again, halachic men think about these types of unusual scenarios. I wanted to do this. Maybe if any of you would be interested for this upcoming sukkahs, we could have like a weird sukkah construction contest and try to build the world's weirdest sukkah. It could be a lot of fun. Okay, Chevra, any questions, comments, observations, jokes? Okay, listen, Yasher Koach, I'm very happy that we've resumed learning together. Last year, actually, we began our shiur, Parshas Bereishis, last year. So it's now been one full year of saying shiur with the Washington Heights congregation. And Bezos Hashem will continue to go on to learn more Meseches, Sukkah. I'm having fun, and thank you for coming to listen. Okay, Kotov, have a good night.
Have a good night.